Welcome to The Family Business.
It's a podcast about episodes of the show Supernatural.
Today we're talking about Season 1, Episode 19, Provenance.
What a weird word.
I can't say it right to save my life. I'm like Dean in the where he keeps
Provenance?
Saying, it's Provenance, but whatever. So I struggle with that. Oh, I'm Tammy. I'm the mom.
I'm Erica, I'm the first daughter.
I'm Jasmine, I'm the second daughter.
So, I say it every time, but I'll say it again. We don't do spoilers. We only talk about the current episode or previous episodes. We will not talk about future episodes. And if for some reason we mention something, we'll say, oh, this might be a little bit of a spoiler or whatever, but we don't really do that too much. Unless it's like somebody comes back up later. Or something like that.
Yes, because I also have not seen any of them. I can't give a spoiler. I don't know what the hell's going on.
And honestly, I don't remember enough to give any spoilers.
I only remember select things, which I figure out when we're discussing the show. And you're like, oh, you remember this? Major plot point. And I'm like, no, I don't. And then happens. I do the same thing, and you do... You don't remember either, so...
I didn't remember this episode at all.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I think that we remember different things.
Not at the moment, but, like, as I was watching... Not at the moment?
Not right now, I don't remember it. Good thing I have notes.
I don't know what I meant by that.
Present day.
But, like, as I was watching, I remembered the twist as soon as I saw the painting.
Oh.
Guys, we have a lot of problems with pets in this room. We're sorry, but we hope that you too are pet people and that you won't mind. Because when I listen to podcasts and I hear dogs bark or cats meow or whatever, it just makes me happy to know that the person making that podcast has animals in their life. And we're hoping you feel the same.
And we have a goal to be, like, an animal rescue one day. And until then, we have a lot of pets of our own.
Until then, we're one already.
So...
I mean, we rescue them already, it's just unofficial.
Yeah, but we want to do it officially and work on rehoming some of them, if we can.
Not the ones we have now, though.
No. We keep the ones that we have now, but... Yeah. A little bit about us. Anyway...
So we open with a couple.
Who knows the names?
Okay,
I didn't even try for names. The only name I got in this was Sarah.
Okay, I got it.
Oh, and then Evelyn.
Mark?
Those were the only ones I got.
And Anne Telesca.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't know Mark's name.
Uh-huh.
Because Anne called him Babe.
Uh-huh.
I put Anne and Babe. And then I put, Anne is bloody dead. Babe attacked by Spooky.
It's the little notes like that that make
it
fun.
I like how they put it up like it's like their family portrait.
Immediately. Okay.
It was great. Yeah, that night.
It reminded me of, do you remember the weird little postcard we got in the mail one time?
I do.
And I was like, this really looks like... You know what? I'm going to put this in a frame and put it with our family pictures. Yeah. And then we did. And then we made up a story about how it was our great-great-grandfather.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
You know what this reminded me of? Every time we go to the thrift store, which is a lot because we love the thrift store. Not during COVID, but during normal time.
We are responsible. We have not been to the thrift store in a long time.
Who every time goes, that's creepy, I want it. You.
Yeah.
You, Mom.
And me.
Well, and then you're like, yeah. And you say, yeah, let's get it. And I'm that guy who's like, no.
Why do we gotta get
bring that to our
stuff?
House?
I'm like, look at this. It's a headless, old, haunted, weird.
Usually it's the paintings, though.
Yeah.
Usually you guys are like, wow, this painting's so weird.
Or the dolls.
We have one in the hall closet.
Which one?
One that we got at the thrift store. And it's kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, I might get axed tonight, so.
I mean, we've had it for years. Yeah. It's in the closet. We haven't hung it up, but we have
it
in
the closet.
Maybe
that's what activates it.
And I just remembered that when you said that. But
we gotta find a space for that.
Remember, we even took it apart because I was like, what if it's got, like, handwritten notes or something in there? It didn't, but whatever. It was still cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's anyways.
They buy the creepy paintings, and I'm like, guys, we're gonna get haunted. And they're like, eh. Cool story, bro.
We don't just buy the creepy paintings. One of us also buys creepy fake baby head purses.
No, I bought that for her. Because I sent her... Well, because
try
I sent her...
Trying to be all innocent and you get the weird
I sent her the
too.
Picture making fun of it. Like, look at this shit that we
you
have at the
knew
third
I
store.
Would want it.
And then she's like, bring that home.
It's mine now. Okay. So, Mark and Ann Telesca are in their living room. And... they had spent the evening together at a charity auction sale.
Which I can relate to because I recently bought something at a charity auction, but it was online.
And I'm not allowed to know about it because it's a gift for me.
I know what it is.
It's good.
And I spoil gifts sometimes, so that's all I'm going to say.
I don't think it's haunted, so don't worry.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be pretty cool.
I guess I'll still like it if it's not, but...
Oh, you'll love it.
All right. So, anyways, they bring home this creepy picture of a family and immediately hang it over their fireplace. And
which is funny because thinking about it, they just had like a giant empty space right over their
I know,
fireplace.
What was there before?
They had just moved in.
They don't look like it.
So, they hang up the painting that night immediately, apparently, because... they've got space and time to do so.
Who wouldn't?
And the tools handy and everything.
And old paintings like that are pretty heavy.
And it was big. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like your sister's mirror big. Like that big. I forget that we're on a podcast sometimes.
Yeah. It was like that big.
It was like over that big there. Right there.
So you know the size of the painting? That's the size of my sister's mirror.
How many inches would you say that is?
I would say that is probably
30 around the
24
top.
By...
That is more than 24.
I would say 30.
Why do you ask and then attack?
I didn't ask.
And then probably...
3.5 or 4 feet down?
Yeah. 3 feet by 4 feet, something like that.
Sorry to all the international people listening.
There's a good number of them, too.
156 centimeters by... I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm American.
I'm sorry, I'm American, too.
Me, too.
I mean, you're not always American.
Guys, we're filming? Guys, we're recording this on Election Day 2020.
And we all went and voted.
And we all know how 2020 is going, right?
Like, and we're just trying to keep busy and sane while we wait.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
So, Mark and Ann Telesca.
You mean Babe.
Mark
and Babe. Mark and himself.
Babe and Babe. Are making out.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. Well, they're kissing. And kissing and progressing. And
two more.
And then...
ooh la la.
They decide that they're going to take this to the bedroom. And...
she's saying it so formally.
They are going to take
this... they're going to get it on.
They're going to take this to the bedroom. And... something moves in the painting ever so slightly to where you're like, did I just see that or not? Now I know, because this has happened to me so many times. Not with the painting in particular, but like...
wait, think you saw something?
Situations where I think I see something, I'm like, did I see something? I don't know. So, good call on them to put that little bit in there, because we all can identify with that, I think. And so... Anne goes upstairs, and Babe stays down to lock up. And it's a pretty pretty nice house, pretty big,
alarm system,
spacious and everything.
Lots of places to lock up.
And so he's walking around, and as he does, little things are kind of moving, but you don't see it, but you kind of hear it, and then you're like, what's going on? And, you know, he does too, because he turns around and is like, what was that? Mm-hmm. It shows Anne upstairs getting into bed.
I liked this part, by the way.
Do you know what I'm going to quote right now?
Yeah, because you always quote the most inappropriate of things.
Yeah, I do. And she yells down, if you don't hurry up, I'm going to start without you. I forgot that part happened.
That was so great. I laughed so hard, I had to pause it.
I don't know why that needs announcing.
And you just... You just watched it, so I'm surprised. They were making out. Like, they were, like, and the whole discussion was about what they were about to do while they were downstairs.
Well, I just thought it was, like,
because he was, like, she was, like, let's take this upstairs. And he was, like, okay, give me whatever.
Yeah, I remember them saying that, but I don't remember them, like, full-on making out. Maybe, like, kiss once or twice, but, like.
Well, it wasn't, like, gross, raunchy, like, tongue all over the place making out.
But it was, like, making out. It was, like. Progressively making out. And so she's upstairs in bed, and then you see the shadow of something come around the corner, mm-hmm. go up the stairs and come around the corner of the bedroom.
It seemed weird to me that it went after her first.
I thought so too.
Because she was all the way upstairs.
Right.
Okay. And what seemed weird to me was, because I didn't remember this at all, but the shadow looked tall, real tall. And I know shadows can be distorted, right?
Right, right.
But it didn't look the silhouette of a little girl.
And it also looked like a bald head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember thinking that and seeing the shadow. Like, you can tell a shadow if it has hair or not.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There was no hair.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But I thought the exact same thing as you did. Yeah. I was like, why did it bypass him to go upstairs? So he walked, or whatever, walked past the husband downstairs.
Yeah.
Who would have been easy to get quickly downstairs and then move upstairs. But it did the opposite, which, whatever, I don't know why. But it went upstairs. The shadow comes around the corner. An eerie wind blows through and blows the candle out in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of scary because then the camera goes to the husband downstairs starting to walk up the stairs. And you're like, oh shit, that ain't the husband. So it goes back to the room and the lights are out. The candle's blown out. It's quiet. The husband comes up and he's like, wow, do you smell something? That's weird.
He's like, turn on the lights. I can't see.
Yeah. And she doesn't answer. And he's like, what is that smell?
So the ghost blew out the candle, too?
It was spooky wind.
It was because remember when they're in the crypt, the wind came through there, too?
I don't remember that. I didn't notice.
It did. It blew some leaves.
I guess that's the precursor to a ghost coming in.
Oh, okay.
So if your candles ever blow out, or if you're in a crypt and the wind comes through, watch out.
All right.
It made me think of, no, this isn't right. One time I had a bunch of candles going.
Oh, God.
And it made the fire alarm go off.
In the middle of the night,
and it was like,
mind you.
It was like 2 in the morning. And so then I grab the broom handle and I'm like poking up at the fire alarm to turn it off. And my mom comes out and Jasmine comes out stumbling like, all asleep, and I'm just going, no, this isn't right.
While jamming up the ceiling with the broom handle.
And
she's
then,
so frazzled, you can tell.
And I feel bad because I didn't want to wake them up, but, oh man.
And she's not talking to us. She's looking at the smoke detector that's screaming, poking at it with a broom. And saying, no, this isn't right. Almost under her breath. Like she's talking to herself. And that was so hilarious to me.
I just turned around and went back to bed.
And I was so disoriented. I had no idea what was going on. I was just on autopilot. But, I mean, the house didn't burn down where I lived. So.
And we have this good story, so.
Oh. So now we always have a funny little family saying, no, no, this isn't right. So then, turns out the smell was the blood that's everywhere. Because then he turns on the light and sees his wife just gashed apart. And
do you think you would smell blood?
Blood, yes, I know you can smell blood.
Like, okay, so say you walked into a similar situation, you know you would smell it?
I have, and I do. And
okay. I can't smell anything. So it's weird to me to think about how blood smells.
There is
smells.
A smell of metal.
Yeah, it's metallic.
To it.
That's weird.
And it's strong. But my... No, I don't know what other people smell, but my nose is so incredibly... Like, my sense of smell is just heightened. And it smells like metal. I don't know what else. It has a... Almost like a...
But you
like
would... Do you think you would know before you even touched anything what it was? Okay.
I would. I know. At my last job, we dealt with so much blood that you can smell it. You can smell it. I can smell it if it's been on an object and it hasn't been cleaned all the way. Like, I can just smell it. It doesn't have to be like a puddle of blood. But you can smell like the remnants of it.
Oh, okay.
So I have, husband finds a dead wife, then he gets murked.
Your new word.
I remember that word.
Yeah, me too.
A review, thank you. Vocabulary review. Uh-huh. Man, we do everything. So yes, then he sees his bloody wife, screams, turns around, and is murked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the opening scene.
Then it shows Sam and Dean at a bar.
Yep. Yes, it does. Dean's getting some lady's number.
And Sam's looking all broody, looking at newspapers.
And he, like, waves Dean over.
Did you notice he came back with two beers, but there was a full cup of beer on the table?
Yes. I think he keeps bringing his brother beers.
It seemed so normal that I didn't even question it.
And then he's, like, not drinking them. Because he's researching. Hello.
Yeah. Also, because they're just... He doesn't drink a lot of beer.
He takes his job seriously.
So what are we today? As you said, LA TV scouts looking for people with special skills.
This is never a dull moment. Always something. I mean, at least it's not an FBI agent. Bikini Inspector, all the other things that they've been.
And Dean's trying to hook Sam up with the other girl.
I think Dean's doing what would make Dean feel better.
Yeah.
And so he's like, come on, let's try this, it'll help you. And
yeah, Sam's he doesn't like, know how to,
that's
like...
not gonna help me.
Yeah.
But he thinks it should, and he's like, you're just holding on to the bad. Let go, it's okay. Then they talk about Mark and Anne. Anne and Babe. Babe Telesca.
Mark Babe Telesca.
They were found dead in their home. No prints. No weapons.
Everything locked.
Windows locked from the inside. And then Dean says something like, maybe it's not for us. Maybe it's not our kind of job. And...
Sam's like, ho, 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 ho.
Hold up, buddy.
Our dad wrote some notes about this shit.
And then he's like, okay, let's go. You notice how he, like, completely switches sides as soon as his dad is mentioned?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
And he talks about how there were three murders in the same area. First one in 1912. Second one, 1945. Third one in 1970.
And they have the same crime scene type thing.
I feel like they should happen more often. Like, where was the painting in all the time in
they
between?
Said,
yeah, they
said
did.
Later
they
must
like,
have
known
we would have questions. They foreshadowed us asking questions because they talked about later, they talk about how...
It was in storage.
It was sold for the first time 1912 after the murders.
Uh-huh.
And then it was in that... family, and then it went to another family in 1945, Then that murder happened. Then it went to another family in 1970, and it's been in storage.
No, but
ever
I mean
since.
In between those times.
Yeah, it was probably just stored. Like, people don't usually get rid of stuff right away.
Also, it made it sound like they had it for that long. And so.
But that wouldn't make sense because.
It murders immediately.
Yeah.
And so.
So even if a family member was keeping it in their house or whatever.
Maybe in like a storage thing. Like a storage closet.
Like it wasn't in a house.
Yeah. Because I don't know if it has to be in the house or just on the property.
Maybe when the people were killed, their house, it just sat for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know if that's common. I mean, it's certainly not really common today, but...
I don't think for that long, though. Not for, like...
30 years or
yeah.
Whatever. I don't know.
Or maybe that's the only ones that the dad could find, but it really happened more often? I don't know.
Maybe, because at some point...
You'd think people would realize that, though.
I think Sam at some point says, or when somebody says, oh, there's been 3 murders or whatever, and they're like, well, that we know of.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know, it just seemed kind of murky.
Murky?
Yeah, I mean...
Murky.
Murdery?
So then Sam and Dean are at that creepy old house.
Yes, they are.
And Dean's looking real rough.
So he stays in the car asleep.
When Sam comes back, what's he do?
Honks the horn! Beep!
It scares the fuck out of Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty good. I laughed.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
He says there's no EMF in the house. Sam checked the history of the house. Nothing. So Dean says maybe it's a cursed object. But the house was empty.
Yeah, and I thought this part was cool because it was like the house is clean. And he was like, well, I know you already said that. But maybe it's like, and he's like, no, I mean, there's nothing in the house.
Yeah.
And that's then he's cool. Like, what? Oh, that's weird. Okay.
So they go to the auction.
Let's go to the auction.
So in this part, they say something about wasps.
I had to stop and look it up.
Okay, what is it?
I cannot go past something I don't understand. I was trained that way
in
my
wrote
mind
it in my notes.
Very early. I looked it up. So when they go to the auction, Dean says, it's like a garage sale for wasps, if you ask me. And I was like, what the hell is a wasp? The only reason I knew what he said was because I had the caption down.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way it was put was like capital W dot A.
Like an acronym.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, what does that stand for? So I Googled it. Here's what it stands for. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And it's a term used for upper-class white American Protestants, usually of British descent. And it is like a upper-class group of people who maintain their class through, like, nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
And... it just reminds me of a lot going on today, and so it
was fitting.
I had never heard it, so I had to know what the hell it was. And so I just had to look it up, but I did, and that's what it is. So basically a bunch of uppity white people who think they're better than everyone else.
Mm. Good to know.
So then the dude who owns the auction house comes by and is like, hey, this is a private showing. And
can I help you?
I don't remember seeing you guys on the guest list. This is when Dean says, we're there, chuckles.
Before this, my favorite part is when he comes into contact with them the first time and he's like, can I help you, gentlemen? Because he eyeballs them as soon as they walk in the door and they look like they just came in off the street, literally, and here's all of these wasps.
Yeah.
And, he says, can I help you, gentlemen? Dean, who has a mouthful of appetizers, looks at him and says, I'd like some champagne, please. And then Sam says, he's not a waiter. And then Dean's like, oh. How do I know?
How was I supposed to know?
And then the champagne shows up.
And that was so funny to me. Because literally, they look like they were just out playing basketball for the day. Like, they just look like they were literally working on cars or something. Yeah, uh-huh. And here they are in all this fancy schmancy stuff. You had, like, some champagne to wash down this pig in a blanket, if you don't mind. Chuckles.
So then they're looking at the painting.
Yeah, what are the odds? So I was like, they claim that they're art collectors or something.
Sam and Dean Connors.
And I was like, okay, but, like, what are the odds they just knew it was going to be a painting? Like, come on, it could have been a piece of furniture. It could have been anything.
I think you can say that those are art, though, if they're old enough. You get what I mean? So, like, if you say
no,
you're an art, I think antiques dealer would have been better.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So they're looking at that painting, and the lady, her name's Sarah, we find out, but she comes down the stairs.
The daughter.
And she's like, fine example of American primitive. And then Sam catches it as a joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, it was not a joke, it was a trap.
Test, yeah.
And so he was like, no, it's more Grant Wood than Grandma Moses, but you knew that. And then they love.
Well, not quite.
They almost love.
They like.
I think they realize they have a mutual interest.
Yeah.
But it's nicer to do the little heart.
They can't see it.
Our fans can't see the heart.
Much like your mirror, they can't see it. And then they leave.
They leave.
Because they found love, and that's all they were there for.
They found love in a hopeless place.
Sorry.
My next note is, what the fuck is this hotel?
Wait. No. You missed a part. So, okay, they leave, whatever. As they're walking in, they like to throw in that, like, Sam knows what he's talking about.
This is where I was going.
Yeah.
So they leave.
And he goes, art history course. It's good for meeting girls.
And then my favorite part is where Dean says, it's like I don't even know you.
Yeah.
I really liked that we said that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the part I was getting to when I said, so they leave. Also, this hotel is
what the fuck is the hotel?
So groovy. Uh-huh. It's like so disco. It hurts my soul. Like, it's so 70s and so glam disco 70s. It's like, and then they look it around, and they look at each other, and they're like, all right.
It was a weird thing for the show to throw in for no reason. I
hope there's a backstory to it somewhere.
Yeah. Like, it seems like they spent a lot of money on making it like that for
Here's my story that I hope it is. I hope that Sam and Dean had no idea what they'd be walking into and thought it would just be, like, the standard Motel 6.
Yeah.
But one of them had an experience in a hotel room in their past, and it looked like this. And so one of the writers was like, we're making this happen, and we're going to surprise them, and then when they walk in, they're going to be, like, blown away. So, I don't know if that's true or not. Jared Padalecki, go ahead and give us a call if you can confirm or deny that story. I just completely made up.
I just thought it was really funny, because I was like, they went to a lot of work to make it like this. And it's not even, like, part of the storyline. They literally just, like, kind of look at each other and shrug. And that's it.
It was the end of it.
I appreciated it, though.
Yeah, so did I.
Really hope it has a backstory. I'd love to know.
So then we find out the reason for the name of the show.
I like that they threw that in.
Otherwise, I never would have got it.
I know.
Up until now, I was like, is that the town?
Yeah.
Like, so, provenance is the certificate of origin that can trace the past of the painting.
Mm-hmm.
So, That helps.
Who knew?
That helps a lot once they get it. And to get it, what happens? Sam and Sarah have to go to a date.
Go to a date.
They have to go to a date or else...
Oh my goodness.
The balance of the world will be thrown off.
No, people will just keep getting murdered.
Murked.
I mean, that's an imbalance, though. Eventually, there'll be more dead people than alive people.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure there are more dead people than alive people.
I'm not a numbers girl, so I don't really know. But
I mean, the population is out of control.
Apparently so is murders. Mercs.
So is murders.
So is
murders. So is murders.
So on the date, we find out that Sarah's mom died about a year ago, and she hasn't really been doing much since.
Hold on. Did we talk about Dean calling Sarah?
Dean?
I mean, Dean telling Sam to call Sarah.
No, we just said that they had the date to happen.
I have some notes here that would lead me to believe it's important, but I can't read them because my Sharpie bled through.
It wasn't really that important.
Oh, it kind of was because Sam didn't want to.
Yeah.
Right?
Dean was like,
you obviously liked her. And they say something about how, is this now or later?
Later.
They say,
okay. It's later. Because it was real brief right
so
now.
So it was just like a little, like.
I wrote a lot about
Dean
that.
Dean is kind of like speculating as to why, I think. Like, you can see the gears in his head kind of clicking. But he doesn't press it right here. He's just like, oh, whatever. But Sam ends up calling anyway because that's the only way they can get the provenance. My favorite quote on the date is when she tells him that he is reasonably attractive.
Yeah, I liked that part. It sounded like something I would say.
I thought the date was cool when I was like, oh, how's he going to pull this one off? This girl is leading a very different lifestyle than Sam and Dean. Mm-hmm. And here he is in his fancy clothes, something that we don't see every day with his Justin Bieber haircut, and what year was this? Was Justin Bieber even
2005? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
Anyways, doesn't matter. So,
pretty sure he wasn't.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny when the waiter handed him the wine list, and he was just looking at it like it was like written in a different language. Like
that would be me. Like
what do
I would just ask. Do you have a preference?
Yeah.
And I would probably defer to her and say, I don't ever order wine, but I'm shameless like that. Like, yeah. I don't care. I have no problem saying, this is not my thing. If it's yours, here you are.
Yeah.
Please lead the way because I don't know what I'm doing here. But I thought it was cool when she could see him struggling and then said, can I just get a beer?
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. And what are the odds? She has a dead mom, too.
50-50. Okay, so... our mom's not very good with math.
She's terrible.
And so she always says that things have a 50-50 chance. Either they are or they aren't.
So statistics don't work like that if you guys are unaware.
But to me, it's so true because you either have a dead mom or you don't have a dead mom. There's a 50-50 chance, right? Okay, I don't pretend to know math or be some great mathematician, but I'm not a dipshit either, folks.
Except
come on.
When you literally had an argument with me about it. Like no, it's 50-50.
That's just how I see it.
So, when she asks what the odds of something are, we just reply 50-50.
Normally, it's me.
We don't, though. Like,
That's why it was so funny. Normally, it's me saying, well, there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
And then they laugh and humor me. And
call her dumb.
Yeah, whatever.
Go on with our day.
And so that's why that was just so funny, because usually they don't do that, but here they are both doing it. I appreciated it. It's good. So they both have dead moms.
And but she doesn't know that. He doesn't say that.
No,
until
but...
until later, anyway.
He's not real forthcoming with anything at all. And is...
Which it seems like a really awkward date if you don't want to share anything, right? Like...
And it's sad, because you can see him struggling. Like, you can see, like, this is not... He likes her, but this is just... He's not there.
Yeah.
And he's scared, and... He has a lot going on.
To be fair, I feel like it's a lot to expect on the first date for someone to open up to you like that.
I agree, but I think she's looking for something.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's looking for some sort of confirmation that he does like her.
Yeah.
And that she's not just...
And if somebody is interested, they'll share a little bit about themselves. Even if it's a little awkward.
Well, yeah.
So... Eventually, he gets the provenance from her.
And they're back at the hotel.
Which Dean thinks is funny because he's like, you went back to her place?
Yeah.
And you just got the provenance and left? Like, not saying that, like, I think Dean is saying that sex should have happened.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that he just left after that. And didn't like.
He thinks.
Yeah, didn't like hang out a little bit.
I thought the whole thing was weird because he was so vague during the dinner. And he was like, long story for another time, you know, a couple of times. And like, wasn't real forthcoming with any real feelings or details. So like, what? Like,
why are we here?
Yeah. Like, you wanted a date, but then you asked me for these things. And I would probably think, this is weird. Like, he's just trying to steal something, or he's trying to get something from me. And so I'd be like,
trying
no thanks.
Trying to use you to get the
exactly.
Thing that he
wants. Like, what, something's going on. I will say, I noticed here something drastically different is going on with the quality of the camera. The color.
Mm-hmm. So you like this episode better?
It's brighter.
There's clarity.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going from like the most primitive,
like a VHS
black and white film, to full HD.
So maybe they were like using like cheaper equipment until they found out if there was like a
something different happened in this episode, and I don't know what it was, but you could just see them. So clearly, you could see the pores on their face. Not that that's really great, but, like, it's just so much different from every other previous episode.
Where it's so dark, you're kind of, like, blinking. And, like...
And it's just the clarity of it all, and the camera work.
Sharper.
Like, yes, everything was so, so much clearer. And it was so very obvious to me that something was different. So I just thought the whole quality of the visuals had improved in this episode.
So they figure out it is the painting.
And what are the odds?
They decide they're going to go salt and burn. So what they do is they...
I like how it, like, jump cut to the next scene of them, like, jumping over fences, and it was, like, real action-packed.
Yeah. It was like, it looked like they were gonna go steal the Declaration of Independence.
Mm, yep, seen that.
Yeah, similar.
And then Sam can disarm alarms?
Well, yeah, he's techie.
It's never been mentioned before.
I don't know if
you know every talent he's ever had?
Yeah.
We're only 19 episodes in.
Well.
This is still season one newbie shit.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about, and I don't know if it's important, but we didn't talk about how they found the portrait of Isaiah Merchant's family in 1910 in the papers.
Is that yet?
And they compare the names with the dad's journal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what we were saying, yeah.
Yeah, they found out that it was... I just kind of brushed past it.
Yeah, okay. And then they, like, matched up the names to the in the journal to like the actual events that had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know if that was important to mention later on, like if we'd be lost somewhere in it.
Where are we?
They jumped the fence, they climbed the gate, and they disarmed the alarm. They found the painting.
Cut out the painting.
Right, okay, so...
This part...
What I didn't get is, why didn't they just burn the whole thing?
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been probably, I just assumed why, take the whole frame.
It's so big and bulky.
It is really big and, like, hard to hide. So if they are seen coming out, they can't hide it. But if they cut it out and they've got it, like, folded up in their jacket or whatever.
What if they, like, so they cut it out, but... Obviously, there's still, like, strands of the canvas or whatever, like...
And that...
You didn't burn the whole painting.
And my thing is, would it have come back if you burned the whole thing? Like, how would it have
and
come back?
And who knows? Because then the entire thing is done.
Yeah. And so that's what I was saying.
Which is probably a better idea, but maybe they just thought...
It probably still would have, though, because, like, it was able to just rematerialize.
Yeah.
Also, my point is, a really good one, because this reminded me of a really great episode of Drunk History.
Oh.
And the whole time I was just laughing to myself, because... Beep, 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 beep. Yeah. Any Drunk History fans out there, you'll know what we're talking about. I don't have the exact
episode
number.
Episode 2 or 3. It's like season 1. And they're talking about some people. They don't know the names of the people because it was never found. But they break into an art museum.
Uh-huh. And it's a, I can see it's a, like a boyfriend and a girlfriend sitting at a bar at the table talking to the host.
Yeah.
And they are hilarious. The lady is a hoot, let me tell you.
And so they take a razor blade, rather than taking all the paintings down all the way, they cut the paintings out using a razor blade, which...
Devalues the whole...
The whole, like... The price out of the painting.
The whole value of it.
Also, it was just a waste of time for everyone, because...
Then they're worth nothing, and you can't do anything with them, and you've ruined the exhibit.
Yeah, so they cut it out, and when they're cutting it out, the lady does a sound effect for corner to corner, and she goes, boop, 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 boop. And so when Dean cuts it out...
Is that automatically what went on
in my mind? In my mind, I heard boop, 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 and I cracked up.
So that's what she was talking about. It's hard to say without the picture, but...
So go look up that episode of Drunk History, and then come back and laugh, because you'll know what's up.
It's a really good show, by the way. Drunk History is pretty funny.
And little do they know that as soon as they walked out, it just quickly... grew right back in somehow in the frame, and we're back at square one.
Which they didn't know, but Dean lost his wallet.
Yeah.
So this...
Who the fuck takes a wallet to a crime scene?
I'ma tell you, this happens more often than you would even care to believe. This is so crazy. I hear so many stories like this on... Also, not just the wallet, but, like, specifically an ID card is lost. Who is carrying their ID card loose in their pocket to commit a crime?
Well, that's ridiculous.
A lot of people, I guess, because I hear this story all the time, and I'm like,
well, for Dean, I could kind of understand, because if they get caught... He could try to think of a story real quick and, like, show him one of his fake IDs.
Put it in a Velcro pocket.
Yeah.
Put on
a thing with fake IDs.
I 100% do not buy that Dean would have lost it. Like,
it
seems on your, so out of character.
Put on your tactical Kim Possible pants and put in your wallet in that really...
Oh, I would love to see him in that.
Really Velcroed tight pocket so that your wallet is not falling out. Come on. Do I gotta teach you everything?
Well, he knows how to hunt the demons.
Well, he doesn't know how to hold on to his wallet at a crime scene, so...
You win some, you lose some.
I guess. It's a balance.
My favorite part is when Sam is, like, talking to her, and he's like, oh, no, I'm leaving, actually. My brother's just being stupid.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God, I love that painting!
Yeah. When they go back to look for his wallet.
Yeah. And it's just so funny to me, because he's, like, he's trying to save it, but it's so awkward.
Yeah.
And we all know it's awkward.
And then he's like, oh, yeah, keep that. And she's like, do you want to actually buy it? He's like, oh, God, no.
No, it's horrible.
He's like, I love that painting. And then she's like, really? Because I think it's creepy.
Yeah. Like, he's like, God, no. No, but, yeah, I'm going to tell my brother. I'll see you later. And she's like, so you're not leaving?
And that's when she says that they sold it to the Telescas the night they were murdered. And that her dad wants to sell it, but she doesn't because she thinks it's in bad taste. So...
They're selling all the other stuff, though.
I mean, so, really.
But she made the connection of it being sold to them the night they were killed.
Yeah, but...
So it weirds her out.
Why? If anything, the other stuff's weirder because they cared more about it. And like,
I'm telling you, there's something innately creepy about portrait paintings.
It's true.
I don't know what it is, and I don't know why, but it is so... Sometimes I feel this way about photographs, too, but just particularly, like, portraits that are painted of people from... And maybe it's because I've watched too many things like this.
Yeah.
But they... there's just something innately creepy about the whole situation.
So then they go to ask a historian about the family.
Oh, I like... have this.
Okay.
Because, are they in a library? Because I thought they were in a library.
Yeah, I think okay. So.
Don't want to look foolish here. So.
Could have been like a hall of records, but.
This is what I have, and I'm leading up to something, so bear with me. In the car, Sam and Dean talk about how this could happen since they burned the painting, so they can't figure out what's going on. We burned the painting. How is this going on? And so they say in most haunted paintings, it's a subject of the paintings that's doing the haunting, obviously. And so Dean says that they got to learn everything that they possibly can about this family to try to figure out, crack the code, you know, what's going on. So, got to learn everything we can about that family. To the library! And then I put, Sam's time to shine. This is his jam. Because he's always at the library. He's always doing the research. And I loved the guy at the library.
Yeah.
I loved him. He was so excited to shine in his moment. Uh-huh. Like, he was like, okay, guys, here we go.
It's like when you ask a professor something that they really care about.
You could just see it, too. Yeah. He was, like, sparkly and lit up, like, oh, this is my moment I've been waiting for. Somebody gives a shit about this. And he was, like, overachiever. He's like, I dug up this and this and everything I could find.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, they say they want to learn everything about the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they stop at the dad.
Yeah.
They don't learn everything about the family. Which, I guess... If everything's pointing you to the dad, and they found the dad guilty, you don't really have much reason to look anywhere else.
Yeah. Right.
But it's weird.
But automatically, I would think, oh, check out the adopted daughter.
Because he did make a point to say...
It was an adopted daughter.
The daughter was adopted.
Yeah.
Which,
I know that seems weird, but, like... Anything out of the norm, I would investigate.
Yeah. I thought it was so cool, because he was like, are you crime buffs? Like, trying to bait them into the story. So you guys crime buffs? And they're like, maybe, why? And so, that's when he tells them everything about the adopted
Isaiah
daughter.
Isaiah was going to leave with the kids, or the wife was going to leave Isaiah with the kids, so he killed them all.
And then himself.
They were all cremated. Is that weird?
And then he shows them the picture in the book, and it is the picture of the painting.
But not.
But slightly different.
So then they get a copy of it. And then back at the auction house, Evelyn's dad is selling the painting.
No, Sarah's dad.
Sarah's dad is to selling Evelyn. The painting to Evelyn, yeah. Names are messing with me today. So, I think it's weird because Sam calls Sarah, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, really great, nice, dandy.
By the way.
Who'd you sell it to? I need to
have yeah! I thought that was weird, too. And in the hotel room, when Sam says that the dad's in a different position in the painting than he is in the picture, then Dean says, let's look for other changes in the painting.
Uh-huh.
And then Sam's like, how will they stop this if the bones are already dusted? How, what do we even do? How do we proceed? And I was like, at this point, I was like, yeah, what do they do?
Like, What do they do?
What are they going to do? Like, are they going to have to do something new? Something? They have to develop a plan? Like, what?
What's going to happen?
What do you do if it's cremated? Like, cremation's a thing. Like, yeah, so I was like, at this point, I was like, oh no, we haven't encountered this problem before.
So they get the address to Evelyn's.
Hold on.
Oh.
Important part okay. here. Sam and Dean have a discussion about hooking up with Sarah. And I feel like this is another really big Dean Big Brother moment.
Uh-huh.
Because yeah. he's... I'm going to tell you what I wrote. Dean has another Big Brother moment. Dean is tender here. Tender like a pot roast. I don't know why I wrote
pot
that.
Pot roast.
But...
She's vegan.
I don't even eat meat. But that's what came to mind. And,
now I want pot roast.
And so...
She's not vegan.
I thought...
I'm not anywhere close to vegan.
These are the moments that are my favorite in this show. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, I like the history of the ghouls and the demons and the all of that. I like that, too. But the moments that really stick out to me are, like, the human moments between two brothers. And it's about what's going on inside.
What I thought was sweet was how Dean was like, we could stay for a while. Because you know Dean yeah. likes to hunt. Like, mm-hmm. you know he wants to do what the dad would want them to do.
Yes.
But he's trying to do what he thinks might make Sam feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, you know, we could just stay.
Yeah.
And Sam's like, nah.
And Sam's like irritated, like, what does it matter to you? What yeah. does it matter if I hook up with somebody or not? Like, and he's like, well, you might be in a better mood. So he's like, whatever. And then, like, this is where he gets, like, into the real stuff. And I yeah. was, like, seeing, like, growth from him because that's when he says, look, I don't know what it's like to lose someone like that, like you did with Jessica, but I would think that she would want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like, oh, whoa. He goes from suggesting he just have a one-night stand in a way
yeah.
to like, listen, I know this has something to do with Jessica. I don't know what that's like, but I think that she would probably want you to yeah. still live your life. And so then Sam kind of thinks about it and says, yeah, I agree, but it's not just about Jessica. So Sam agrees to call and try to get back to see the painting. And then, like you said, with the part where he's like, you sold it!
Yeah.
I need an address right away.
And it was like such a calm, normal conversation yeah. up until you sold it!
Yeah. And look at their history up to now. He's been vague, he yeah. hasn't been real forthcoming with a lot of information, but he keeps calling her and showing some kind of interest,
yeah.
but the only real interest seems to be in the painting
yeah.
and where it's going and where it's been.
That's all he really talks about.
And so then he's like, you sold it, I need an address right away, which she promptly gives to him, apparently.
Well
apparently there was more of a talk.
Yeah, because later. When they show up, she's like, you said she's in danger, blah, 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 like... So that's, like, kind of their way of, like, look, she's not completely insane. She wouldn't just give the address yeah. away. But even then, like...
And I did like that she went, too. Yeah. So she's like, okay, here's the address. And then also, I'm going to see what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
I would rather just call the police.
Exactly.
And I probably would have already, when he asked for the paperwork on the art stuff, I would have been like, no. What is going on here? Mm-hmm. Who is this person? He's trying to steal my shit. That's just me.
I probably wouldn't have called the cops, but I wouldn't have given
I would have called the cops for the address.
Yeah.
That's when I... Because that's weird. It's... I don't know what he's doing. It just seems suspicious.
And he's shown an awful lot of interest in this painting. Uh-huh. So... While they're having this conversation on the phone, Evelyn... we see Evelyn sitting in her parlor. It's quite a nice house and a lot of nice furnishings and things. She also apparently immediately hung up the painting.
Maybe that's part of the power. Just like
hang it up real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a terrible accident with the painting that was there before, and it's like, quick, I gotta get another painting up.
I don't care if it's gonna murder me.
And so it shows Evelyn sitting in her chair by the fire.
Do you think she hung up the painting herself?
I don't know, because she looked...
I feel like she had, like, the movers do it or something.
Yeah, maybe.
Or whoever delivers it. Maybe when you buy a fine piece of artwork, it includes installation or something.
Maybe.
I don't really know.
The other ones didn't, though.
But, I mean, she was a high-paying customer. They made a great point to say that.
I'm sure she would have just tipped one of the movers to hang it up.
Yeah. Oh, take it out of the box for me and put it up there, and I'll give you a
full
mill.
Plus, she's a little old lady, so people would probably want to help her out. So,
this part was terrifying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was all up close and intimate with her in her living space where she was safely reading a book and drinking a cup of tea.
Enjoying a nice little fire.
And it was
cozy.
Like up close.
And you could see the switchblade in the glasses.
It was so terrifying. And so you see the movements in the painting. And then all of a sudden you see a reflection of the switchblade in her glasses that are on the table beside her. Oh, got cold chills. And then she turns and looks, which was the really terrifying part to me, because she looks dead into my eyes. She turns and looks at the camera, and she's looking right at me, only I'm not really there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that she's looking at the killer, and then...
And then you're the killer.
Man. This is deep. This episode's deep, guys. So, then it cuts to the driveway outside, where everybody has decided to come try to save Evelyn. Spoiler alert, it's too late.
And Sam's like, I told you not to come. And Sarah's like, of course I came.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is great, because she could have just sent these two strange men
to an old lady's
home. Where at the very least I would have thought, they're trying to rob that painting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But at least now she sees they didn't kill her. Because
exactly.
They weren't there yet.
Oh, this could have went so differently.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
then they go in. And Sarah's like, oh, Evelyn, hello, blah.
Because Evelyn's just sitting there, staring forward.
And she keeps talking. Like, you don't think it's weird that she's not moving or reacting at all?
Instantly, when I walked in that, but this is just me again.
Yeah.
When I walked in that door, I'd have been like, she's dead, don't look.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my God, she's just sitting there, she's not...
Call her name maybe once, and then, okay.
I 100% would have known, because she didn't get up or do nothing while you were picking the lock to get into her house.
Yeah.
And no. Nope.
Or at the very least, she's like...
Plus, you would smell the blood, because if they cut the throat...
I would have smelled it in the driveway.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would have got in the door, looked, saw her, fell to the floor screaming, crawled out while frantically dialing 911 for the phone, trying not to disturb the crime scene.
Dialing 911 for the phone.
You know what I mean?
Save my phone.
I'm not thinking straight. It's an emergency.
I don't think you would really act like that, though.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I would. I would be, like, so... You know death freaks me out.
For me, I'm pretty good until after.
Yeah.
So, and that's usually how I am, but I feel like I would have...
So I think I would have been like, oh, fuck. And then 911.
This is terrible to say. I would see it, and then I would instantly have a panic attack about having to call.
Oh, great. Now I gotta talk to somebody.
Yes.
Like,
you're like, is there a way to text me?
Oh, there is. You can.
There is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It's only in certain areas.
You would Google how to text 911.
You've been like, well, there's no emergency. She's dead. Yeah. So I got time to do some research on this. How to call 911 without talking to anyone.
Just call it from the phone.
911! Just scream it and hope somebody else calls.
Oh, to call like Sam and Dean. Oh, call 911.
Oh, it's like when you do the first aid training. And you're supposed to designate.
You have to designate.
Yeah. Like,
that's you. I would be the designated.
Call 911.
You in the red pants. Please, call 911.
Red pants.
Anyone except me, call 911.
Because,
the thing is, you have to pick someone specifically.
Yeah, because then everybody else thinks, well, I thought they called. Yeah. No, I thought they called.
Oh, man. If someone ever designated me, I'd look over to the person next to me. You do it.
He designated you, buddy. We both have jeans on.
I refuse.
I didn't sign up for this.
No, I gotta go.
Oh, sorry, I'm late.
That's the real reason you don't ever want to stop when you see an emergency.
Yeah, it
is. I like when she's got to touch her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
Mm-hmm.
No. See? No. And then they warn her, and they're like, no.
Yeah.
Sarah, don't. And then her head falls backwards.
Yep.
And that's why.
That's why you don't.
You know how traumatic that would be?
Freaking terrifying.
So then they are at the hotel. And Evelyn comes in and says, I just like
Sarah.
Why do I do this?
So the back at the motel.
Is it a motel?
Yes.
What's the difference? The
difference is
price.
Quality. The difference is,
I mean, this one's pretty
the
nice.
Disco atmosphere. The difference is, so a motel is like a drive up.
This is a discotel.
Oh.
Motel, Holiday Inn. It's a drive. That was the first rap song, the Sugar Hill Gang.
I know that song.
Okay. So a motel is like where you drive up
to
your
me
room.
Rap music. She didn't even know what Merck was.
And you part. But that was the first rap song. I had that on vinyl in the late 70s. And I was like,
we
what
get
is
it, you're
this?
Old.
I was like, what is this?
This is why I'm the favorite.
It's not only why, but...
Yeah, it's a good reason.
But a motel is, it's like a drive-up. You park, like, at the
door.
Pretty much, yeah. And then you go, the entrances are outside, like, towards a parking lot or a hallway or, motel, I think it might even be short for motor or something. I'm not sure. I think I heard that somewhere.
Motor
before.
Hotel?
Yeah, but it's basically like a drive-up hotel kind of situation.
Okay.
A hotel is like
it
inside.
Has a lobby.
Like a building.
Yes, and like you go in. It's kind of a perceived...
Kind of like apartments?
Yeah. It's like... I don't know whether it is or not, but the idea is it's a little step up.
A little classy.
A hotel is a step up. It's like, and a motel is like kind of lower.
I feel like a motel would be more convenient.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not as posh. It's not as...
Rich people aren't about convenience, did he?
Yeah, that's for poor people. Poor people need convenience because their lives are hard.
Rich people can pay for convenience anyways, even if it isn't made to be convenient.
Carry me down the stairs.
Exactly. Hang up this painting.
That's gonna murder me. So they tell her about how they think it's a haunted painting.
No, first of all, she lied to the cops.
Yeah. She comes in to the hotel and she's like, okay, tell me everything. And they're like,
how
did
they get all these people to lie to the cops before they even tell them the truth?
And why? What would be the point? Why are you going to risk your, basically freedom? Because once you lie to a cop and they find out, they're going to lock you up.
Yeah, you could just say they were art dealers who were also interested in the painting and wanted to go talk to her. So you were going with them.
Yeah.
And when you all got there at the same time...
It would have never crossed my mind to lie to the cops that I was there alone. Because you do not know. These are rich people. They could have surveillance equipment.
Exactly.
They could have... Now you are... Why did you lie? You liar. Why did you lie? What are you hiding?
Yeah.
No, I'm not lying to no damn cops. You guys
I would have just said, these art dealers wanted to see the painting, so I told them to follow me over. It's not exactly the truth.
Yeah.
But it is close.
It's close.
And
I would say I didn't give them the address, because then they might accuse them of murdering her, but she knows they didn't. Mm-hmm. So.
And I like how they're like, all right, well, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Shit's haunted. I know this is hard to believe, but we think it's killing people. I mean...
What other option is there at that point?
I don't really know how they avoid this in other cases.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really know how you can ask someone else for that much help with something and not...
Explain...
clue them in on what's going on without looking just like a shady asshole. Like, people aren't going to cooperate with you if you don't tell them stuff.
Shady asshole.
Like, not the sunny ones.
Not the asshole.
Not the sunny California assholes. You know there are people who do that. They think...
They sunburn their assholes.
No, they sun their butts.
They sun their buttholes.
It's true. No,
I don't know if this is just
yoga poses about it.
I don't know if this is just a California thing.
It probably is. It sounds very California.
It really is a thing where people think that that's like the best point to take in the energy of the sunlight.
Well, it is really absorbent. tissues there.
You heard it here first. It's on your butthole.
It's absorbent. Put that on a t-shirt right now and make the sun look like a butthole. Like a puckery butthole sun. And then put it right in the middle and then sun your butthole. It's absorbent.
Or just put, it's absorbent. And then leave the rest.
No, I need it to say sun your butthole.
That's because she really likes the word butthole.
I hate that word.
It's like...
You have a lot of words you hate.
I know. I have a lot of things I hate.
And I love the word butthole. Underappreciated.
So they decide they're going to go to the mausoleum.
Because it's different in the painting.
So they're trying to get some clues. What are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? Look at that right there.
And they're searching everywhere, and apparently this is the third
graveyard. Isn't there like a way to like, look it up or something?
And how big is this town? What town is big enough for three graveyards?
Well, I mean, watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sunnydale has something like, I want to say it's like...
It looks like they just have a field of graveyards.
Or something, graveyards. But that's because it's the hell now.
And, I mean, that benefits their story. Yeah. So, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's fiction.
What? Sunnydale isn't a real town?
I'm just saying it can have as many graveyards as they need.
There's no hell mouse.
In the story.
Are you telling me the one in Cleveland isn't real either?
That one I don't know about.
I've never been to Cleveland. I couldn't tell you actually, but I'm betting on no. So if you're in Cleveland,
gotta find a new vacation spot.
Go to California. They send their bubbles.
I'm already there.
Oh.
I don't sun my butt, though.
I don't either.
I don't sun
anything. I do a lot of hippie shit, but I've never introduced my butthole to the sun.
You guys are missing out. It's invigorating.
Seems just really, like, uncomfortable.
Literally, you can get a sunburn on tender places in minutes. Like, what are you doing risking that?
Well, first you apply the sunscreen.
Oh. No, you don't.
No, because that blocks the beneficial rays.
No, no.
So you're getting no benefits if you use the sunscreen.
You still can get vitamin... What's the vitamin that comes from the
vitamin
sun?
Vitamin D. No, it blocks... Sunscreen blocks vitamin D absorption. That's why you're supposed to get sunlight without sunscreen for like 15 minutes a day.
No, thank you. I'll stay inside like a hermit.
So now you're going to take a very absorbent, a naturally absorbent orifice, and you're going to apply a barrier to it.
Yeah.
And then you're going
to protect your butthole.
You're going to negate the whole.
Then what's the point?
The whole system.
I don't know. I've never really sunned my butthole. I don't know.
My butthole.
I can't tell you.
I wonder what's inside your butthole. I wonder what's inside your butthole. Maybe it's astronauts. Maybe it's aliens all inside your butthole.
For some reason, it's a video. She really likes the kids singing that song.
Stop acting like the world doesn't know about it. That went viral.
I've never seen that from anyone but you. Yeah, and I have friends on the internet.
No, actually, Hank Green did a rendition of it. But
I would challenge you to hang out with some different people then, because if...
Okay, first of all, I don't hang out with anyone.
I'm telling your sister, because she says she's never seen that from anybody. And so you guys need to find some fun friends to hang out with, because...
Well, I think it's different when you're a parent and you've had kids who sing silly songs like that. Yeah. It's more appreciated. I'm not a parent.
Thank God.
And I don't wonder what's inside buttholes very often.
I don't
want to know what's inside your butthole.
I don't feel that
that's
it was
your business.
I don't feel that it was the parent in me that identified with that song. I feel like it was the child in me that identified with that song.
I never once wondered that.
And especially because it was a child that was singing it, and I was like, yes, girl, you have questions. Ask them.
No,
like,
but I think that's because you're a parent. You're used to kids asking weird questions. You get what I mean?
Well, yes, but also, I was a child who asked weird questions and, like, was constantly told to stop asking questions. And so to see it celebrated when a child asks questions in song form about my favorite word, butthole, there's just so many things I love about it. I can't deny it. So anyways, they've been trekking through all the graveyards, looking for this crypt. Mm-hmm. And they find
finally,
it.
It's here.
And I like Dean's answer to that when she says, isn't this a crime scene? And he said, you already lied to the cops. What's another infraction? Because I'm like, yeah, oh, now you want to follow the rules?
Yeah.
Like, okay. And they get inside and they look at the painting.
That's when they realize the picture is different.
Mm-hmm.
And the razor is moved.
The razor is moved. And they can see the crypt in the picture, inside the picture.
I wonder what's inside your picture.
I don't think it's astronauts or aliens.
I think it's a mausoleum.
Maybe it's kids' toys. Maybe it's human hair all inside your...
I thought you were going to say butthole right now.
Mausoleum.
I was like, I hope it's not those things in your butthole. I really hope not.
So then they find it.
What did they find?
They find the crypt, the mausoleum,
the holder of the dead,
the dead house,
the dead house,
the dead closet, the concrete dead closet.
And there's creepy toys preserved in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Weird.
I kind of want to go into one now and see that.
Alright, we'll break in. Okay.
We'll go completely legally.
Ask for permission.
Ask politely.
And there's only 4 urns. Suspicions.
Why are there only 4? It was a family of 5. Something's amiss. It's the mister. He's gone.
The mister's amiss.
The mister's amiss. So they say the urn for the dad is missing, and they need to find out where he's at.
So they go look for that death certificate.
And he wasn't cremated.
He was buried.
Why?
Because they didn't like him. Because he was a murderer.
True. His family was ashamed. And so they didn't want him in that... They didn't want him in that family crypt with the family name. They wanted him far, far away.
Mm-hmm. But while Dean is finding this out, Sam and Sarah are having a deep conversation. Where Sam is like, yeah, I like you, but it's a terrible idea.
I like this part in the beginning where they're sitting outside and then Sarah says, so what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And he's like, he's in there, Dean's in there getting, looking at death certificates to find out what's going on. And she says, well, how did he even get in there? And then Sam says, lying in subterfuge, mostly.
Yeah.
Which I thought was that's a good
motto. Shirt.
Like, that's a great shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's no sun your butthole, but it's a good runner up, maybe. And this part again, so clear. The camera work, the color, the focus, the it's just all so, there's so much clarity, and you can see everything. It's just like a different
show.
Style, mm-hmm. Totally. I'm really obvious here. And he tells her you have an eyelash.
Yeah, and then he says, I can't love you, you'll get murdered.
But my favorite part is when he says you have an eyelash. And he's like, it's there. And she's like, here. And he's like, no. Do you mind if I get it? That's my boy.
My favorite part. He asked for
consent before he touched her.
My favorite part is when she says, it's very sweet and very archaic.
Oh, I got that written down.
And then I feel bad for her because then she says, is there something between us or am I just delusional?
Yeah. Like,
there's so many mixed signals happening here. What is going on? And I feel like I understand both sides of this because he hasn't been in a place to share all of his deep feelings. So, of course, how do you expect someone to share something that they're not comfortable sharing? Those feelings belong to him. He doesn't owe her anything. But at the same time, she's like, listen, I don't even know what's going on here. I'm just not clear. So, it's a struggle for sure.
So then, after they find out about Isaiah, they go grave rob. And they salt and burn him. And I like how she's like, you guys are way too comfortable with this. Like,
as they're in the middle of the night, yeah. Digging 6 feet down into the dirt. Which,
by the way, like, that would take a long time.
That takes forever.
What a workout.
I know. When I dig up bodies, it's like, it's not just a quick thing. Of
course, like, you gotta take breaks, you gotta have snacks.
It's a lot of hard work.
Your hands are all dirty.
Yeah. It sucks. And then only one of them was doing it?
No, they were both down there at first. Oh. And then Sam got out to go talk to his friend. Mm.
Then they go back to Evelyn's to make sure.
Because they're like, yeah, we salted it, we burned it, we took care of it, it's all done and good and set. Let's go live our lives. But first, let's check and make sure.
But it's not done and good.
Which, thank God that they did this.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because if not, it just continues and all this work was for mm-hmm. naught.
And then they noticed the little girl and the razor blade are gone.
And the painting. Which, I didn't see this coming.
I didn't either, and I've seen this episode.
I didn't see this twist.
I remembered it. I don't remember what I thought the first time. I think I was a little surprised the first time.
But I knew something was still going to happen because they were going back to the house.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we're not done here. There's going to be something. Mm-hmm. But I thought it would be some kind of showdown
with the
guy or something. Mm-hmm. Something was going to happen. I did not see it at all that this little girl was the killer.
But I like it. It's a nice twist.
Yeah, it was good. And she was terrifying.
Yeah, she was.
And I was like, it was late at night.
Dragging the little doll.
And her makeup looked so convincing. Mm-hmm. And then like her little glitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Terrifying.
And then the door slams shut and Dean can't get in.
And then they're inside and he's outside.
And so Dean's like, okay, go look for iron or salt or something. I loved what comes next. They're frantically running through the house. Dean's on the phone with Sam. Sam's like frazzled. He's looking for anything he can find. Then comes the best quote. Usually I go with the deep stuff, but this is just too good to deny. And he goes, what kind of house doesn't have salt? Low sodium freaks. It was so hilarious because I could see myself doing this. Like,
yeah.
Like what's wrong with you? Who doesn't have salt?
Yeah.
Do you think garlic salt would work?
I mean, it's got salt.
It's got to have more of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Wouldn't that be? Well, I mean, maybe for
throw
vampires.
A salt lamp at it.
Oh, maybe that's what the balls are for in my salt lamp. Like, how it has those little, yeah, huck them.
Yeah. Oh, a little cannonball.
Shaboom!
Of the cannon.
So they figure out that they could target the doll.
Yeah. So I like when she was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's fascinating, Sarah.
But right now, yeah, that was hilarious. Because she's like, oh my gosh, like, yeah I got some beneficial shit to add to this. I'm going to be, like, save the day right here. And he's like, that's fucking great, Sarah. Could you maybe not
<it? laughs>
do that right now and look for a fucking fire poker?
So then Dean goes to salt and burn the doll.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam and Sarah are spreading their DNA all over the place, getting attacked by this ghost.
Getting slammed into the wall by a desk and thrown all over the place.
And Dean's like,
Dean can't figure out how to open the freaking glass.
So then he just shoots it.
Yeah.
I like that he, like, talked a little shit on himself. Uh-huh. He was like, oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Boom, boom, boom. Like, just shoot it.
And it takes a while for the hair to light on fire.
Because the lighter's being glitchy.
Which, I would just like to say, I know from personal experience that hair lights on fire pretty easily.
Oh yeah, she does. How do you know that?
Because I lit your hair on fire one time.
What an asshole.
It was on accident, you guys. Okay.
She says this, but I still don't believe it.
So.
And I don't know.
We were roasting marshmallows over the oven.
How old were you?
I was like three or four.
Yeah, it was like kindergarten or preschool age, right?
It was before preschool. It was at...
At the Stockton...
No, the, it was at the house...
Oh, by Joey.
By Joey. I don't know if we're saying that, but... And I was, like, 3 and 4 there.
Okay.
And so...
And to be fair, our father was there, but he was not a good guardian, and he spent most of his day asleep.
I was at work.
And I was hungry, yeah. So we were roasting marshmallows. And I was
helping her, but I am only 4 years older than her. So she is 3, I was 7.
So, you know, it's a great recipe for...
For marshmallow.
Yeah. For hair fire.
And so... I'm roasting the marshmallow, and it catches on fire, and me being the little pyromaniac that I am, was amazed.
Also, she was obsessed with things that could be eaten on a chopstick at this time. So, like, I remember one time you were crying for something on a chopstick, and Dad put a Twinkie on a chopstick for you, and you were impressed. Like, you thought it was, like, a dessert corn dog. You thought it was amazing.
I do love corn dogs.
And so,
I remember that, too.
This time in your life, you only wanted things on a stick.
You know, I've been obsessed with chopsticks, like, my whole life.
I do remember making you, like, you used to, like, slice salami and cheese, uh-huh. And you wanted them like on skewered? The chopstick, like, skewered like a hors d'oeuvre.
See? And then this fancy. Is the same time that you saved the corn dog sticks.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was at the same. Which, by the way,
I collect corn dogs.
What do you mean used again? To? Because I found a bag on the kitchen counter the other day that had like 12 corn dog sticks in there.
That's because I don't throw them away because the cats get them out of the trash.
Okay, so well, I picked it up. Put them
back in the box.
When I was cleaning the kitchen, I picked up a bag off the counter and I was like, oh, I'll throw this away. And when I picked it up, I saw the corn dog sticks in the bottom of it and I was like, here we go again. We're doing this again, are we? Okay, and I put them back down. They're still there because...
Oh, she didn't want to, like, I take want, your names nice. Away.
Didn't want to
you
steal
throw
your...
them away, though.
I didn't want to
you could
number.
Throw them away.
Now the cats get them.
Oh, man.
But anyways, I was like, oh, look! The marshmallow's on fire! And I, like, lift it up to show my sister. And then, of course, like...
Oh, look, so's my hair.
Yeah, I wasn't careful. And so, her hair was right where I happened to lift the marshmallow.
You were fire, sis.
Yeah, luckily I got it out, though.
Fire yeah. did.
It was real quick. It wasn't, like, anything serious. Like...
Oh.
She's like, what serious? Are you freaking out about? It was nothing.
I, like, barely caught a little flame.
A little flicker, really.
That's probably didn't good. Even feel anything. You didn't even feel
it was right by my face.
Okay, so you got a little warm.
I had layers.
So, anyways.
You were 7? I don't think you did.
That was the style. I don't know. I think I had short hair, though, like, right
You
here.
Did have yeah. short hair that year. You did. That's the year in the well, school pictures shorter. Where you have your uniform on, uh-huh. And then you have, you look...
It, like, frames your face.
Yeah, like...
Oh, good.
Great. And then I ate the marshmallow.
And it was great.
It was good.
And my hair smelled like flames the rest of the day.
I like that smoky smell.
Oh, good.
So they don't find any salt. Low sodium freaks. But they do find a fireplace poker and smack the girl with it. And I was like, what's going to happen now? Because she kind of, like,
goes away.
Just kind of dissipates into the air. So I was like, did that get her or what? And then it shows...
I think it kind of weakens them for a little bit, but then they come back.
And I didn't know. I thought it, like, killed them. So, I was like, what are they still freaking out for? Because she's coming back. And, and when she comes back, she's glitchy. And it freaks me out. So, she looks like a visual stutter. If
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
So then, after Dean, Sultan burns the doll. We see the ghostie burst into flame and dissipate. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
So long, farewell to you, my friend. Goodbye for now, until we meet again.
I said it's so been long,
farewell to you, my friend. Goodbye.
Well, now I look like an idiot.
Until
you were supposed to go on. It's a harmony.
No, that's not how it goes.
Yeah, it is.
Play and sing together
in the box.
And now it's time to say goodbye. So long, farewell.
The pride on her face is that of a 5-year-old.
I had to finish it because I know that's what she was waiting for.
And that's all I got.
No.
That's all I got.
Whoa.
Wow.
Challenge is over. Ghost is dead.
Fuck you, Sarah.
The rest doesn't matter.
I don't care what your problems are, Sarah.
Get over it. You're alive. No. Think about Evelyn.
We find out. We find out that the girl had been adopted because her first family had been murdered.
Important. I should have wrote that down, but I didn't.
Then I have Sam and Sarah say bye. Maybe you're not cursed. Sad Sarah.
And she wants him to come back.
Say goodbye.
And he's like, and then, okay, I will.
And then he does come back. Just to kiss her.
They close the door. And they're both sad for a second. And then he knocks back on the door. And they kiss. Yuck.
Gross. That's it. That's what happens.
And then Dean kind of smirks and says, that a boy. Mm-hmm. And then gets in the car. Like, oh, okay, my brother, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be all right.
I will say, I think this is the first episode that doesn't end with just Sam and Dean.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
I didn't like that he went back for the kiss.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that.
You felt like it was too much pressure at that time?
Yes, yeah. And I hate it when people feel, I felt like he had to perform. And I don't like that. Like, whether it was pressure, he was obviously getting pressure from her because she was like, hey, do you like me or not? Show me that you like me. And kind of not respecting his.
Well, I mean, she was respecting
where
it.
He was at in that.
She just
place,
wanted an answer.
Which I get. But then definitely Dean is like, he's like those people that's like, this is what's normal and this is where you are. Get over to here.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel better. And I don't like that. I hate that, in fact. I hate the fact that people push other people to do anything before they're ready. And whether they seem to have the best of intentions, they're your family, like, I don't care. That's not everybody has the skill to set that boundary and say, listen, back off. This is what I'm doing right now. This is how I feel. It's not about you. This is me. So I just feel like people need to be a little more.
You don't need a relationship.
No. And it's
not. You don't
not,
need to hook up with people.
There's not all these little check boxes that you have to do in order to be considered okay. Mm-hmm. And if you don't kiss the girl, that's okay. And if you don't want to, that's all right too. Like,
if you want kisses or if you don't want kisses,
don't let your brother bully you into kissing the girl.
So, favorite character?
Sarah.
Mind you,
my favorite character,
or Anne,
my favorite character is the librarian that was all excited to share his information with these two guys who are interested in learning.
Favorite quote. Mine was very sweet and very archaic.
Mine was, what kind of house doesn't have salt? Low sodium freaks.
Mine was either lying in subterfuge, mostly.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or, oh, you already lied to the cops. What's another infraction? Both of those I thought were pretty good, but probably lying subterfuge, because I always default to things that look better on a t-shirt. If you want to reach out to us on social media, you can find us on Instagram at spn.the.family.business.
Woo!
We hope you enjoyed our episode. Join us again next week for Season 1, Episode 20, Dead Man's Blood, where we'll be watching stuff.
Saying things.
The family business.
Wait, we missed a spot here.
Go back.
You jumped.
That's
a lot.
Yeah, and that's why I just said wait. Whenever I said that, I was like, wait.
Because I know what you're thinking of.
Uh-huh.
So they go back to Evelyn's.
Yes, they do.
Right?
Yes, they go to Evelyn's and they break in.
And she goes, isn't this a crime scene?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, girl.
Yes.
Mention it, because no one ever does.
And this just shows that you shine compared to the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is what we always say. You're contaminating the evidence.
Yeah.
You're murking it up.
And not only that, but later on.
She's not murking it up. She's not murdering anything.
No, but later on, when Sam and her are in there, getting almost murked. Their DNA's flying everywhere.
Yes.
And they're fucking shit up.
Yes.
They're getting thrown everywhere.
Papers are flying.
This is a crime scene.
Like, furniture's flying.
People are gonna come in.
Unless they've already done that.
Yeah, but it's still
being processed.
Yeah.
Like, it's still got the tape. It's still got, you know, also, here's the thing. This is not entirely accurate, I don't think, because when they process a crime scene, nobody is supposed to come in or out, and nobody leaves until it's done.
Yeah.
So they don't leave it.
Right. So they wouldn't be leaving the tape.
The tape would still be there.
It's not a crime scene anymore. It's been processed. It's done. We've got all of our stuff here. Otherwise, somebody would have still been there.